Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Dende, Billy and Fruitcakes, and we got a bunch of football to talk about coming up in the next hour. We're going to start with our first impression roses, which means we have scanned the NFL slate for this weekend, and we have selected a few winners of the bets that we think we're going to be making. Of course, we will do further research, but these are our first glances and, you know, our first impressions where we look at these numbers like, hey, we got to, you know, do some research on into that game because I like that number when I first look at it. 7:20, it's a Wine About It Wednesday. You know I have like 17 things locked and loaded to complain about. And then at 7:40, a real treat, Dari Noka, of the SEC Network stops by to talk all things college football because, believe me, we have plenty to talk about when it comes to college football. All right, Den, so I was just looking at my first impression roses, and I think all four of them are road teams, which is wild. And I was thinking to myself, I have seen like a smattering of articles on the disappearing home field advantage over the course of the NFL. Like, I understand some teams still very much have it. Like, you look at the Bills and like the Eagles, even if you look at like the Chiefs, like some of these teams still have a very distinct home field advantage. But if you look at the course of the league, like the macro picture of all the teams, we've seen this trend where I saw this article about last year where it's not as big of a thing where you look at home teams and you're like, okay, this is a sure bet in the NFL. You don't bet against the home team. I feel like it doesn't matter as much anymore.
No, I think most NFL guys can go on the road and win. The atmospheres are way more corporate in the NFL than they are in the collegiate game, which is fine. Like, I think there's a lot of really good atmospheres in the NFL, but there's not a lot that put fear in the hearts of the opposing team. I can think of four. I'll go four. You get Kansas City, you get Seattle, you get Philadelphia, and you get New Orleans when New Orleans is in the blackout. Yeah, when they're good in the blackout. The blackout thing is like, you know, the blackout in the dome, it like just looks dark and moody and edgy and all of these things. Like, that feels like it might be a little frightening at times to just look out and basically see a sea of blackness in the dome. But outside of that, you know, they have to be good, and they're not going to be good for a number of years.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a home field advantage is not going to negate the personnel on the field. Like, at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. But the only like literature I could find on this was something from last year and said, since 2020, nearly one out of every five teams have a home record that's worse than their road record. Another three teams have identical home and road records. That means 28% of NFL teams no longer have a quote-unquote home field advantage. So as I look at these road teams that I'm backing, I am going to dig my feet in the sand. I'm going to say, listen, it does not matter that these teams are playing on the road.
There are some big lines this week. Like, really big lines.
Oh, my Titans game.
Yeah, that
is a... stumbled on the Titans?
That's a pretty big one. You get that one at 13.5 with the Seahawks being favored. The Giants are 11-point underdogs against the Lions. The Jets are 13.5-point underdogs against the Ravens. That's a lot of double-digit lines. The Bucks are nearly a touchdown underdog against the Rams. Ugh, that's tough for the gambler.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when I do my first impression, like, glance of the slate, I don't spend more than 2 seconds on those games. Like, for me, I see a big spread, and it's just not worth it to me. Like, some of these are warranted. Like, again, I would never advise somebody, like, oh, yeah, the Titans can score more than 13 points. No, they can't. They're terrible. But it's just a lot of points in the NFL. So, if we're talking about first impressions, I go to the games that have tighter spread. So, here are my first impression roses, Dan, if you are ready. And these are all road teams, like I mentioned. We've got four of them this week. We've got the Eagles laying 3.5 on the road at the Cowboys. I think this is a sell high spot for the Cowboys and an offense that a lot of people saw absolutely explode against a bad Raiders team. I think they're going to be absolutely humbled by this Eagles defense, and I don't think the Eagles are going to have to score that much to win this game against the Cowboys. Next up, we're going to Browns plus 3.5 at the Raiders. Did you see the Raiders' offense? I don't care how bad the Browns are. At least they have a good defense. Steelers plus 2.5 at the Bears. I am sad that I didn't get the plus 3. At least I got it in my teaser, because we've been talking about this, the fact that there is a chance that Aaron Rodgers could play in this game. And plus, I do think the Bears at 7-3 are one of those teams that maybe are a little fraudulent. Like, they've had an easy schedule. They played in a bunch of close games. So, again, like, if you're getting close to a field goal, like, again, I wish this was 3. I do think if the Bears win, it's going to be a close game. And then finally, this one makes me a little nervous, but I'm going to include it anyway because I think it's a good talking point. Colts plus 3.5 at Kansas City. I feel like this will probably be a close game, but it's never super fun to fade the Chiefs at home. So that one I feel a little skittish on. But then of these four, who are you throwing out of the mix here?
So I would be a little skittish on the Colts and Chiefs as well, just because that would then... So the Chiefs have lost 2 in a row already. They need a strong offensive performance because, you know, in the 2 games that they've lost, they've scored 21 points and 19 points. It's not good enough for an offense led by Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice. Like, you know, you have your full allotment of weapons. I mean, Pacheco's still hurt, but you know, his usage has not been nearly as high this year as it has been in previous years. So you have your full allotment of weapons, and you're not able to score. So that one would make me just a little nervous, because I do think there will be some sort of correction, overcorrection, if you will, with Kansas City having a sort of offensive explosion. I love the Steelers at plus 2.5. So I knew you were going to talk about that one, but I'm glad you did. I love that one. I think Pittsburgh's defense is going to be all over Caleb Williams. You know, we saw Pittsburgh's defense a couple of weeks ago take Daniel Jones, who was playing at the time at a really high MVP caliber level, and then denigrate him back to the Daniel Jones that New York was ready to throw out with the bathwater. So what are they going to do against a guy like Caleb Williams, who is pretty... he's still in the development process. That is my very nice way of saying I don't know that he's the smartest quarterback in the world. So when you're disguising pressures, and when you have a guy the capability of T.J. Watt who can get after the quarterback, and when you have the guys in that defensive backfield that are just ball-hawking, you know, players with Ramsey and Porter and the litany of guys that Pittsburgh has out there, it does feel like that they'll be able to get after Caleb Williams and to make his life, quite honestly, miserable. It just is a question of what are they going to be able to do offensively. But I like them at 2.5, so I'm glad you mentioned that one. That was the one that stuck out to me the most. I do like the Browns, too. That one plus 3.5. Myles Garrett has 10 sacks in 3 games. That's insane. Just unbelievable. And that Raiders offensive line stinks. If you have not started praying for Geno Smith, you need to do so immediately, if not sooner. Because he is going to see that mammoth of a human being in Myles Garrett. Constantly, he is going to destroy and like Myles Garrett might actually have 6 sacks against the Raiders. That sounds like a hyperbole. It's not. He might have six. I mean, he's had 10 in three games. He might legitimately have six sacks against the Raiders. They're going to have to triple team him. And he might, like, it's going to be classic. Remember when Aaron Donald was constantly seeing triple teams? Where there'd be plays where he lines up over the center, and then the center and both guards are converging on Aaron Donald. You're going to have to start doing that with Myles Garrett. You're going to have to chip him with tight ends. You're going to have to put a tackle on him, and then the guard's going to have to help. And then maybe you chip him with a running back as well. That's going to be a bloodbath. So that one, that under at 36.5, I think is a very good under. But I would be with you on Cleveland at +3.5 solely because they are going to get after him.
Yeah, I was just looking. No sack props up yet on BetMGM, but I know they exist. So when it comes closer to game time, I do think that is a very good angle. Because you're right, the Raiders' offensive line did not look good, and Geno Smith looked absolutely terrible against the Cowboys. So I don't think it's going to go super well for them. But if you look at some of these other games, like, here's the thing about the Steelers, and here's the sabotage factor, I think. We have seen the Steelers defense have a couple good games, but for the most part, this Steelers defense has underachieved in a big way. But I will say, to argue with myself, kind of like Skip Bayless in those videos that I watch on the internet and I laugh at, a lot of these games have been against solid quarterbacks. Like the games they've given up a bunch of points, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love. Are we putting Joe Flacco in that category? I will say this. Joe Flacco is old, but he's at least a smart quarterback. And, you know, the time that the Bengals scored 33 points wasn't the same deal, you know, this last time around where they limited Joe Flacco to 199 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. But my point being is that, you know, some of those quarterbacks are veterans. You know, they are smarter. And I think if you are dovetailing along with the fact that you think Caleb Williams is not on that level yet, maybe it will be tough sledding against the Steelers defense, but my bottom line is just that the Steelers defense has not been very consistent this year.
No, they have not. But I do think they've been playing better as of late. And I think that's going to put a lot of pressure on Caleb Williams. He's going to have to do a lot at the line of scrimmage. And I would imagine that the Steelers coaching staff knows that. And Ben Johnson probably knows that too. But if they were able to really, I mean, that Cincinnati offense, who even with Joe Flacco has shown the ability to put up pretty impressive numbers offensively, they couldn't do anything. So I don't know what Caleb Williams has a, how should I phrase this? He has a tendency to maybe make some really silly throws by trying to do a little too much. I think that's what they'll be able to take advantage of.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, Caleb Williams can still have a quote-unquote, quote, decent game in this one. It's just the problem is the Bears have played in a lot of close games. Like, a lot of their wins have been really tight ones. Like, I'm just looking at the recent ones. You know, they beat the Vikings 19-17 on a walk-off field goal. They beat the Giants 24-20. They beat the Bengals 47-42. Commanders 25-24. Raiders 25-24. So even if you think you come in this game thinking that the Bears are going to eke it out in the fourth quarter again, like you're getting points in this game. And again, right, this is why I wish you got the three. But if you want to look at another way to bet this, you can put it in a teaser. Because here's the thing. I don't think the Bears are going to be blowing out the Steelers. I do think this is going to be a game for all four quarters.
So it is worth mentioning, Chelsea, that as you look at this, it is +2.5, but you're getting +100 at +2.5, which means maybe buying when available, when buying that half point, maybe not the worst decision in the world. So if you buy the half point, it's -130, which is, you know, it's not as good as +100, but I feel like -130 might be something that is, that's a juice that I think is worth the squeeze. So I'd be interested then in potentially taking the hook, buying the hook, buying the half point, and then just taking Pittsburgh at +3.
I think where my brain goes is that if it's even money for 2.5, that means you can get a 3 somewhere else, or it's about to go to 3.
Yeah.
Because that's usually what it means. So I think instead of buying the hook now, you just kind of wait and see. And I understand some of this is based on Aaron Rodgers. Like, if they announce Aaron Rodgers is going to play, like, this 2.5 is probably going to be gone. But I'm looking across the board at, like, other places. There are 3s available. So don't be buying the hook.
As we shop around, what are the prices on those threes? Is it just like a -115 or is it a -120?
Yes.
Okay.
-115. And that's like literally the first other book that I looked. So like there could be better prices available. So just a PSA, always shop around. Then were there any other games? I didn't ask you your first impression, Roses. Did you have any other games, Dad?
So we did talk about some of the ones that I wanted to add. The one that I did want to talk about, to me, it feels like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a good football team. I've watched Baker Mayfield. He's played good football. They're talented. They're hurt, but they're talented. So when I see them as nearly touchdown underdogs against Los Angeles, and that Rams team that's a good football team. But they didn't play their best game against Seattle. So see them as touchdown underdogs after you had just played a really good game against Buffalo, albeit Josh Allen with Superman towards the end. That stuck out to me, and that's going to be something that I examine, and I might be laying or taking Tampa Bay and the 6.5.
Yeah, I think emotionally I can't play the Bucs the week after. I play them in a teaser against the Bills, and they were winning that game, and then all of a sudden they don't even cover in a teaser. So... Bucks, you broke my heart. No, thank you, please. Maybe next week. All right, coming up next here on the show, it's time to whine about it on a Wednesday. It's next on the Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
All right, we're back. The midweek edition of the Daily Tip here on a Wednesday, which means it's time to whine about it. We'll fire up our best complaints in a few mere moments here on the show. Dent Day and for Jinx. But here's something that I am not complaining about. So, Dent, I sent this to you yesterday because I am a huge fan of Pop-Tarts. And I think the Pop-Tart bowl has become like one of these like weird things that it's like kind of creepy and kind of odd that they have a mascot that goes into a toaster and then like the players get to eat a giant Pop-Tart. But this year, the People's National Championship, what the Pop-Tarts Bowl is calling itself, is now going to have six edible mascots, three on Team Sprinkles and 3 on Team Swirls, which I didn't know that you needed to pick a side in this civil war. But let me ask you, are you Team Sprinkles or Team Swirls?
So did it say the flavors of the swirls? Because that's a very important question that needs to be answered.
See, I can't even think of the top of my head, like, what the swirl flavors would be other than wild berry. Like, you remember the one that's purple that has, like, the turquoise swirl? That's the only one I can think of. The rest of them are sprinkles, right?
Which I'm totally out on wild berry. Just...
Oh, really?
For me. Oh, yeah. Well, so they used to have, and this is going to show you the Pop-Tart historian that you were doing a show with. They used to have a cinnamon bun Pop-Tart that had the swirls. I don't know if they make those anymore, because I believe I've told you this before. If not, you're going to get to hear it now. I did not have a toaster as an adult for years because I did not want to overindulge myself on the cookies and cream Pop-Tarts. Have a bad day, be like, you know what? I'm going to get a box of cookies and cream Pop-Tarts. And the problem is that would kill the box. You can do that when you're in high school because you have, like, metabolism. But when you're an adult and you don't have a metabolism and you have stomach problem, like, it just causes a lot of issues, right? But I love cookies and cream Pop-Tarts. Growing up, my second favorite flavor was the cinnamon bun swirl Pop-Tart. So when you sent me this and it said this Team Swirl, I didn't know if cinnamon bun was still around in the Pop-Tart catalog of flavors. If it is, I'm hyped because I love this. Like, it's, if you perfectly, like, you know, get it caramelized, oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So I would love to get the cinnamon bun a little bit of love in the Pop-Tart bowl.
I don't think caramelization happens in the toaster. I could be wrong. I feel like there's somebody who's like a classically trained chef. It's like, oh my God, this guy's talking about Pop-Tarts and caramelization. But how is it that different from the brown sugar cinnamon? Like, would be my, because I would say if you can't find the cinnamon bun, are you a fan of brown sugar cinnamon? Because there is a lot of people who worship at the altar of brown sugar cinnamon.
And brown sugar cinnamon is fantastic, but that is one of the Pop-Tarts that has to be toasted. I do not want a brown sugar cinnamon not toasted. I can do a strawberry not toasted. So, like, a cinnamon bun has to be toasted. Cookies and cream has to be toasted. So if you're giving me the option between a strawberry and a brown sugar cinnamon, I'm going to take the brown sugar cinnamon as long as I got a toaster nearby. So I'm very much in favor of brown sugar cinnamon. That was very easy growing up, too, because my brother liked the strawberry and I liked the brown sugar cinnamon. So we got the, you know, it's best of both worlds.
I feel like if they truly wanted a civil war where people had to pick sides, I think it should be strawberry and brown sugar cinnamon. Because I'm team strawberry. Like, I like the fruity flavors, but I know so many people who, like, in the power rankings, brown sugar cinnamon is their number one. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's okay. But I like the filling in the strawberry one better. So, like, I'm not a brown sugar cinnamon girl. And I do think, like, if there were two captains, if it was, like, Team LeBron and Team Steph, like, those are the two flavors they should use.
So I am on thekitchen.com, and they made a list of Pop-Tart flavors. Because, you know, like, they only have certain Pop-Tart flavors available, right? And I'm trying to figure out who would be the swirl. I have very unfortunate news for me. Cinnamon bun is not going to be there because it doesn't look like cinnamon bun exists anymore. Though they do have a snickerdoodle one, which is at the very least intriguing. It doesn't look like, though, that there's icing. It's just the snickerdoodle toppings on top, which that's, yeah, come on. Like, I need a little bit of sugar in my Pop-Tart here. The swirls would be, you were right, wild berry. It has the swirl design on the wild berry. Hot fudge sundae, which I believe you're supposed to eat cold. And then there is a double chocolate chip that has a chocolate filling and then the swirl of chocolate, but no actual, like, big chocolate icing on the top. So if these are the three that would make up Team Swirl, then you got to be a fool to be on Team Swirl. Like, that's not carrying its weight versus Team Sprinkles, where you'll have your strawberries. And then maybe you could argue that your cookies and cream will be on there. Like, Team Sprinkles feels like it's clearing Team Swirl right now.
I'm just not a huge fan of, like, the over-the-top dessert Pop-Tarts. Like, double, what'd you say, double fudge? That feels like too much to me.
Or no, it's sorry, it's yeah, called frosted it's chocolate chip. Frosted chocolate chip.
That's a no from me. But if you're interested to hear who plays in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, it's teams from the Big 12 and the ACC. And I'll say this, like, maybe this is going to be the goal for my NC State Wolfpack. Are we going to make it to a college football, you know, playoff game? No. But maybe a reachable goal for us every single year is to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, because it does feel like one of my favorite bowl games. Because I feel like we used to have all these, like, oddities in bowl games. I feel like they're kind of disappearing. Like, the Pop-Tarts Bowl feels like one of the few ones that has character to it still.
You got the Mayo Bowl. You know, you want to get mayo dumped on you? I can't think of a worse way to spend an afternoon. You should go. If NC State plays in the Pop-Tart Bowl, you should go to the Pop-Tart Bowl and then see if you can get a piece of the then toasted Pop-Tart after the game.
Ooh, it's like communion for Pop-Tarts
yeah.
fans.
I mean, there's such a, you know, it's such a big Pop-Tart. You let the players and the staffers get some, and then if you can get yourself a press pass, which I think our bosses, nudge, nudge, will be able to do, you can go run on the field and, you know, maybe take a piece.
Here's the only drawback of the Pop-Tarts Bowl. It's in Orlando, I believe.
It is.
I would rather go anywhere else in the country than Orlando. Wow. Orlando sucks, and I will stand on business when I say that. I know that Orlando has Disney World, but that's part of the problem. The traffic is terrible. Like, everything is so touristy. It's in the middle of the state where there is no beach, which is literally the only good thing about the state of Florida. So, like, I do not want to book a trip to Orlando if NC State plays in the Pop-Tart Bowl. Like, NC State's always going to games in Orlando. I'm like, no! I'm not going to damn Orlando!
I didn't realize there was beef with Orlando like this. We're unpacking the Chelsea Messenger lore of cities that she hates in America. I always thought of Orlando as like the capital of orange juice, and I like orange juice.
How many times have you been to Orlando?
Not a lot. Not
exactly.
A lot. I don't think I've been to Orlando. If I'm 30 years old now, I don't think I've been to Orlando in 26 years or 24 years.
Well, so the Astros used to have spring training in Orlando in Kissimmee, which is very close to Disney World. And let me tell you, going to Walmart is an absolute experience. There are people on every aisle. Like, already the city's like overcrowded, and then it's like tourists on top of that. So it's just, there's too many people. I feel like it's very similar to going to Disney World. If there weren't a million people there trying to do all the same things as you, maybe it would be the happiest place on earth. But it ain't, because there's way too many people trying to make memories. That's the worst part, is everybody's like, we spent so much money here, we have to have fun. So you can see the panic on people's faces. So it's just, it's a stressful place.
So you're not a Disney adult then? Is that what you're getting at?
LOL, no. Absolutely not. I feel like I've already complained about like 15 things already, which is par for the course. I do love complaining. But let's get to it on a Wine About It Wednesday.
Why talk about it when you can whine about it?
Whine, whine, whine.
Here on Whining Wednesday.
Do you want to hear whining?
On the Daily Tip.
All right, so it's time to complain. And again, I know I complain a lot. But here's the thing. I feel like complaining is fine if you can make it a little funny. Because think about it. That's literally what stand-up comedy is guys complaining about stuff, but they put a funny spin on it. So you're like, hey, that's relatable. I'm going to laugh. As opposed to somebody who's just negative and complains about things and there's no spin on it. So, Den, I will say this. You know, for the one positive spot of the show, I'm going to say that I have been trying to complain less. And if I'm going to complain, it needs to have like a comical angle to it, because we all know that person that's constantly complaining and nobody wants to be around them. So like, with that being said, I will complain about things, but I'm going to try to keep it light. Is there something you want to complain about? And I understand that I have raised the bar. Now you got to be funny at least.
Now I got to be funny.
But maybe you don't.
Jokes.
At least be relatable. Like, that's the other thing. Like, if it's relatable, maybe it doesn't have to be funny. But I think you get the point that I'm trying to make.
Well, so there are two people that suck in the world, Chelsea. It's people that don't put their shopping carts away. They just leave them out in the parking lot. And you're like, hey, you're an awful person. And then it's people that do not pick up after their pets. And in my neighborhood, we have been running into the latter. There's not a shopping cart area around my neighborhood, so we can't run into those. But there's so many people that do not, because we live in a very dog-friendly area, and I love it, but there's so many people that do not pick up after their pet. And here's the problem. When you're not picking up after your pet, you're never not picking up a small bowel movement. It is always massive, and it's huge. And then my dog be running over to it trying to sniff, and I got to yank him away, be like, hey, no. You're not putting your nose in somebody else's droppings. Like, that is not going to happen, not on Dad's watch. But then now it's dark outside, right? So in the summer, it was like, hey, it's light until like 9 o'clock here on the East Coast. You could see everything. It's dark now at 4:30. So when I take him out for his, you know, his nighttime situation, it's pitch black outside. And sometimes, like, the nighttime situation doesn't actually poop. It's the 5 o'clock, you know, after work, post work. Mom gets home. We all go on a, like a little family stroll here. Well, it's dark outside. I can't see what he's stepping in, because that's the thing. Like, the sniffing is one part, but the stepping in it, I don't know if you've ever had to clean a dog's paws before. It's not exactly a fun experience. They don't like water on their paws, understandable. There's a whole lot of like nooks and crannies into the paws that I did not know about until I had a dog for the first time. So now my dog's stepping in poop. You got to take, like, it's this whole big thing. Pick your poop up, people. You're the worst kind of person if you're not out here picking your poop up.
Well, even if you step on it yourself, like, think of all the nooks and crannies you have in tennis shoes where you have to clean that out. And I feel like that's one of those things that's a day ruiner. Like, there's no way to spend that. When you step in dog crap, like, the day's over. It's not a win. You just take the L. Because, like, that is just, the smell is so bad. Terrible. And then you smell it, and you're like, what is that smell? Did somebody poop? And then you keep smelling it no matter how far you walk. And you're like, oh, my gosh, it's on my shoe? That's the worst realization. So, like, I feel like that is a very good thing to complain about. And listen, like, at the end of the day, personal accountability. It's the same thing as putting away your shopping cart. Like, what makes you better than people where you don't have to do it? Like, I just don't get it. I've even seen the videos of people who are like moms. They're like, I'm scared for my safety. Here's what you do. You take your child with you to return the shopping cart, and then you have the child with you, and you go to the car. Like, I've done it. Like, maybe if you have, like, 7 kids, I'll listen to you, but it's never the people with 7 kids. People with 7 kids are the most, like, they have their ducks in a row. Like, they can do anything, and they'll do it, like, while laughing. You're like, this person's a maniac. But for me, speaking of shopping carts, so, Den, I don't know if you've had the joy or the pleasure of going to Costco, but I have a few complaints. Have you been to Costco?
Oh, I'm a big Costco fan.
Well, complaint number one is that you go in there for like a couple things, and then you get a bunch of things, and you get at the cash register. It's $360. You're like, great.
Yeah,
and then you tell yourself, well, I'm stocked forever on paper towels, but it still hurts the wallet. But here's my biggest complaint about Costco. I feel like the organization of the stores, I don't know if your Costco is like this, where nothing is marked. Like, if you go down the aisles, like, there's no sign to be like, hey, this is where the salsa is. You literally have to go down every single aisle and look with your eyes to find things because nothing is organized and there are no signs. So it's never a short-term experience when you go to Costco.
No, 100%. And I ran into a problem. So I'm a big Costco guy. I love the dried cranberries. It's healthy for me in the morning. I buy the big bag of dried cranberries. The Costco that I go to, it's not in the same section as the other dried fruit. So I'm like walking up and down, and I'm like, well, I see the pears, I see the mangoes. I'm like, I feel like the cranberries would be here. For whatever the reason is, it's like two aisles over. And you know, these Costco aisles are massive. I'm like, how do you take a dried cranberry and put it two aisles over from all of the other dried? It was like by the salt. I was like, what do these two things have in common other than maybe this is pink Himalayan, so the packaging looks similar? It was crazy.
Yeah, Costco. It's never a short-term experience, but it's fine. Who's that kid that loves Costco? The Rizzler?
The Rizzler.
5 big booms for Costco. All right, 5 big booms for Dari Noka. He's coming up next to talk college football here on The Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome back on a Wednesday here on The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. I'm Chelsea Messenger, Den Day, and for Jinx today. And in a few mere moments here on the show, we will talk more college football as we bring in Dari Noka, a host on the SEC Network and SiriusXM College Sports Radio. So let's bring him in right now because we have so much to talk about. I don't even want to wait. All right, so we've got Dari on the line now. And Dari, let me ask you off the top. When you see the new college football rankings announced last night, which fan base do you think has the right to be the maddest?
Oh, great question, Chelsea. Good to talk to you both. I think it's probably Bama. I think that was really the most surprising thing last night was Notre Dame being at 9 and Alabama being at 10. I think most people thought Bama and Oklahoma would be back-to-back, you know, with Oklahoma leading them after beating them. But, I think it, the cynical person, and there are plenty of them, might suggest that committee's trying to protect Notre Dame and not put them in harm's way. And they might be doing that at the expense of Alabama. And that 10 spot is a dangerous spot because that's the last at-large. So all it would really take is something like BYU beating Texas Tech in the Big 12 championship game to have a bid stealer, and then all of a sudden number 10 does not make it. So it's a tenuous spot that Alabama finds itself in, and I don't think that fan base thinks they should.
Dari, what did you make of Hunter Yurcheck last night saying that they had not even compared Notre Dame and Miami to this point?
Yeah, you know, Denton, it's interesting. I mean, understanding their policy of where head-to-head comes into play, I think that he's in line with their policy, which is, you know, unless we see two teams as being otherwise equal, then we don't utilize head-to-head. So right now they deem that Notre Dame is significantly better, right? At least enough better than Miami so they don't need to utilize head-to-head. But he also referenced that, you know, if some things above Miami happen, right? Let's say Cincinnati beats BYU, Utah loses to K-State or KU, then Miami would creep closer to Notre Dame. And if that's the case, that's where you might get a flip because the committee would have them essentially one spot separated, and then it would be hard to justify not using head-to-head. So that's their policy. They deem Notre Dame considerably better than Miami right now, so they don't go to head-to-head. But all things considered equal, and that would indicate that Miami would be closer to Notre Dame in those rankings than they would go to head-to-head, and Miami would instead be in and Notre Dame likely out.
I think the great thing about these rankings that are released every week is that it is a great driver of the conversation of college football. But at the end of the day, for some of these teams who are on the outside looking in, I say to myself, there are 12 teams that get in the college football playoff. And in most years, there are not more than 12 teams that are actually capable of winning a national championship. So let me ask you, how many teams this year do you think are actually capable of winning a national title?
That's I like it. Well, I certainly think the top four are, but it honestly might stop there. It really might. I think the two Big Ten teams, despite being you know, not nearly as tested through their strength of schedule, are very, very good football teams. And then I certainly think Georgia's playing at an elite level right now, and I think they're certainly dangerous. And I think Texas A&M the same. You know, as disappointing as the first half was against South Carolina, the second half showed us how good they can be when they're at their best, and that's certainly really good. You get beyond that, you know, I question Texas Tech a little bit, not defensively, but offensively. I think Ole Miss, a little bit untested as it pertains to SEC play, can be very, very good, but again, inconsistent defensively. I think you start looking down that list at Oklahoma, you know, maybe not good enough offensively. Alabama, again, at times not good enough offensively or defensively. I think everybody's got warts, but realistically, I think you could look at those top four and say any of them have a chance. But are any of them separated far enough from the rest of them? I don't really know. But yeah, I don't look at 1 through 12 and say, you know, you've got 12 contenders. And I certainly don't think that about the group of 16 or the ACC champ, whoever that might end up being.
We're talking with Dari Noka here on the Daily Tip. Dari, by the time Ole Miss plays their first college football playoff game, who will be their head coach?
Wow, that's a great way to put it. I will say Lane. I still have this feeling Lane ends up at Florida. What I'm trying to understand through all this is, you know, does Scott Carter need an answer, or Keith Carter? Does Keith Carter need an answer to then decide that, let's say, Pete Golding is going to be our head coach moving forward? Or I need an answer, Lane, because while you will still be our coach now, I need to know that I need to start the search for somebody else. I still have a hard time thinking that, regardless of what Lane tells Keith, that he won't coach this team while they're still playing football this season.
It feels like there's so much to dive into when it comes to Lane Kiffin, because it feels like right now he's like the Taylor Swift of college football, where like all these people are doing like all of these analyses of these quotes that he's posting, to the point where they're looking for like Easter eggs and all these things. How much of this circus that's been going on is his personality, and how much of it is simply him trying to drive up the price of whatever contract he gets?
You know, it's interesting, Chelsea. I really believe Lane when he says, like, it's not about who's going to pay me more. I really don't think. Now, Jimmy Sexton, his agent, would say the opposite of that, right? But I don't believe that's Lane. I really don't. I do believe him when he says that. But I also believe that Lane cannot get enough of this. There are three schools in what most consider the best conference and deepest conference in college football that are waiting for an answer from him. And that is a really powerful place to be. And I think Lane is probably relishing in that power to some degree. We're all here to speculate where he's going to go. I mean, just like I would speculate that he ends up at Florida, that's not based upon any real solid concrete evidence. It's more of a feeling and maybe a conversation with a couple of people who believe the same thing. But I do believe he loves the attention. He loves being wanted, and that it's not about money. And I'm actually very much in favor of Ole Miss presenting whatever, whether it's an ultimatum, a decision, whatever the stories, multiple stories and reports indicate they presented to them. And I think yesterday with McAfee, Lane might have seen the word ultimatum as his off ramp, because I think that might be the wrong word here. I don't think that's necessarily what was delivered, and Lane kind of used that, you know, that difference in verbiage to get out of that question a little bit. But I do think it's fair to suspect that Ole Miss wants an answer by the Egg Bowl. But maybe there was not necessarily a, you know, an or that was presented. You know, tell us you're staying or tell us you're leaving or. I just think they want an answer because they need to figure out what the heck they need to start doing now moving forward.
Dari, we got a couple minutes left here. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. Obviously, you host a show in Oklahoma now. What has the feeling been like the past couple of days coming off of that big win against Alabama?
Yeah, it's exhilaration, to be honest. You know, a bit of a relief, because last year for Oklahoma folks was so difficult. You know, I think they all got tired of hearing, you're not SEC ready. What are you doing in this league? You know, you can't compete in this league. And I think, you know, Saturday, actually the last two games they've played have been indications that maybe they are. I think there's a bit of a exhale because it appears maybe Brent Venables is the right guy there, and you don't need to worry about joining this in incredible coaching search right now. But then it quickly turns into, like, you know, don't screw it up now, right? Missouri's a good football team. They can run the hell out of the ball. Take care of your business against Missouri and LSU. I don't think they're taking anything for granted. We've seen this team lose big, big football games that they should not lose historically. So there is certainly some trepidation, but at the same time, there's a lot of excitement and a little bit of relief, you know, that we're not going to have a coaching.
Did we lose him? Is Dari still there? I'm not sure.
Yep.
Dari, can you hear us?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here. Yeah. I got you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah. Can you, if you can hear me, we have like a minute left. I just wanted to ask this at the buzzer. Do you think an SEC team will win the national championship? It's been a couple of years.
I do. Yeah, Chelsea, I do. I do think so this year. I think Georgia and Texas A&M are both absolute contenders. Those would be the only two. I think that their season of being a little bit more tested than the Big Ten teams, and I'm even including A&M in that, will give them that opportunity, complete on both sides of the football. Yeah, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, even though I'm on the show with you guys, I do like the SEC of breaking that Big Ten run right now.
Ah, it does feel like there certainly do. Great stuff from Dari Noka today. He does great work for the SEC Network, for SiriusXM College Sports. We know it's a busy time of year, Dari, so thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Enjoy talking to both of you. Have a great rest of your show.
Thanks, Dari.
Yeah. Then it felt weird. I felt like I had to, like, cross-check that. I was like, all right, so the SEC hasn't won a national championship in a couple years, because it feels so weird. Because for a while, it was like SEC just running the table every single year, with the exception of the years where it was Clemson. But I don't know. The SEC chance, don't know if they hit the same way that they used to.
I don't think that an SEC team, Georgia would be the best option right now, Chelsea, to beat Ohio State. So unless someone takes Ohio State out before the championship, I don't know that there is a roster that is strong enough to compete with Ohio State. Now, I say that having not seen Ohio State play a close game. So maybe when they play their first close game, if they even see a close game. But that's the problem. I don't know if they're going to see a close game. I just don't know. That team is too good. There's so many weapons on offense for them, and on defense for that matter.
I do think if there is a close game between Ohio State and Georgia, like if that's the way the matchups go, we've seen Georgia make some real magic in the last few minutes of games. It feels like they're certainly battle-tested. All right, coming up next, hour three of the show, and we start with our biggest takeaways, the college football playoff rankings. It's next on The Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.